Hi, this is Tanya Ransom, creator and executive producer of Nightlight, a horror podcast featuring creepy tales from Black writers all over the world. And this week, I'm here with Tanya Liebert, author of The Drunken Tree. How are you, Tanya?
Oh, I'm fine, man. I'm fine.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration for writing The Drunken Tree?
Okay. Well, let me see. First of all, there is a poem that I remember learning in high school in Trinidad, in St. Joseph's Convent, St. Joseph, called A Poison Tree by William Blake. Now, that poem has always stayed with me. And in fact, it's probably going to be featuring in the second book that I am currently trying to, working to finish. What it's called, Heathen Blood and Stone, is a sensitive title. Also, I saw a cover for a book of this of a the called cover of a book, and I said, And then while I was writing it, it was supposed to be a celebratory, like I had already written a celebratory scene of flavors and scents and transcendence, you know, in terms of consumption of a supernatural fruit. And then while I was writing it, I was like, why don't we just swap between beauty and body horror with each scene? And I was like, oh, that sounds yummy. Let's try that. And at the very end, when I showed Richard Thomas a key scene, it wasn't even a scene, it was a draft of a scene. It wasn't a complete scene. And he went on to say, when Michael Bailey was looking for stories for Cheryl Mad 5, he actually went on and said, I knew I forgot someone when Linda Addison had suggested me. He replied to her comment and said that I just saw a draft of a story by Tanya Liebert that made my skin crawl. I made Richard Thomas's skin fucking crawl. Yes. So
that's a goal for every horror writer, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think I just finished up a draft of it right then. So those are, you know, mission accomplished in terms of body horror. Although, you know, it makes your skin crawl. So it that's all I'm looking for. I'm not necessarily looking for outright horror chills. I like something that just stays with you and maybe is a bit heavy.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think you definitely accomplished that with the story.
Kind of like what Terry Zinn. Zinni Rocklin does with which is the one where the she runs into a deer on Tor.com. That's one.
I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I'll find it and make sure we put it in the show notes.
Heavy shit just sits in your brain. I had to take a break and I have never gone back to it. It's just so much things have taken up my mind, but it's always in the back of my mind. But yes, like that sort of thing. That's really the inspiration, man.
Nice. Well, like I said, I think that you did a great job nailing the whole making your skin crawl thing. It definitely made my skin crawl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, here's the thing. I also borrowed from the fact that I have what you call trichotillomania. Now, this is going to get kind of gross, okay? This is probably why I made the skin crawl. OCD is called obsessive compulsive disorder. It doesn't mean you're obsessed about somebody and you stalk them. That's kind of not what it is. It's kind of like repetitive actions, or this is a different kind of OCD. I have the one that's in the head. I don't have the one that I don't have the type that gives you that manifests as repetitive actions, although I do have a little bit of that. What happens is you have what they call, lovely word for it, comorbidities. So you have like obsessive skin picking. Some people are obsessed with plucking out their eyebrows or their eyelashes. Some people pull their hair out to the point where there's a bald patch. I have had trichotillomania since 1991, and that is why my hair is short. And I hate short hair. And I hate the fact that my hair is short because of the trichotillomania. So sometimes you manifest obsessive skin picking as well. So I borrowed from my personal experience of that. And the thing is, you're never used to doing it. You're always revolted by the fact that it's a compulsion. Okay?
Right.
You're always revolted by it. People are ashamed of the patches in their hair. The group therapy sessions, we all bond because, you know, we're all ashamed of it. We don't want to talk about it. But almost everybody has a supportive partner or something, or a friend or a partner or something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not that like they're bad, gross people, you know? And they talk about the fact that, oh my God, the hair is on the ground by the chair and stuff, you know? And we're all ashamed of it. So I just kind of put that into there.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great way of dealing with the things that disturb us about ourselves is writing horror about them. You know, horror is just as much about making people's skin crawl or scaring them as it is about exercising our own demons, I think. So do you have anything out right now that we can read?
Yeah, I have something coming. I've had the fortune of having two things coming out in January. The first is with Apex Magazine that, you know, they had to go on hiatus because the publisher had a medical emergency of a significant sort, you know, which, you know, couldn't do two things at once. Personal health over magazine, you know, had to wait. But they had published my reprint of my very first story called The Ace of Knives. And the reason why that story started was because of a title. I wrote a story around a title, folks. Okay. It, you know, depends on how the inspiration comes, but that's what you get when you read a lot.
Right.
One thing started up because Stephen Blackmore was doing his horoscopes at that time on Twitter, and you know, the hilarious, dark, and hilariously and bad, you know, bad, you know, and goofy and everything. But he's reserved those for his Patreon patrons. So go and check him out. The second, now they made my mind melt when they got it was free to read as of February the 16th. And on that day, they said, we have published a certified genre classic. I was like, what?
That's a pretty high compliment.
Dude, that's my first ever published short story you're talking about. What? Okay.
That's pretty amazing.
It made my brain melt, seriously.
Yeah. I can imagine so.
You can imagine the implications of what that meant for your career, going through your mind and all that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then they said certified awesome by students, professors, and reviewers and stuff like that over the years. I can't really talk what they said. I was like, okay, they backed up what they're saying. You know, that story has so much legs. Tanana Reeve used it in her UCLA horror course. It's the same course that Jordan Peele crashed that became a Twitter moment that he talked about on Stephen Colbert, that has a YouTube clip about it on YouTube from Stephen Colbert's show. That's the one that Jordan Peele also lectured in, that same course. And then Writing the Other, which needs no introduction. Everybody knows about Writing the Other in the community. And if you don't, look it up. Nisi Shaw. I showed it to her because half of me is seeking validation, half of me wanted her to show her what I can do. And you know, and I got that back. You want to be careful what you wish for.
Okay. Yeah.
So one day she goes, I'm using your story in my writing the other course, by the way.
What?
Just okay, so she's still using it. And according to Tempest, everybody loves the story who reads it in the course. Whoa. So that story has a lot of legs, and you can read it free on Apex Magazine right now as of February the 16th. And the other one is it's a fresh story called 10 Steps to a Whole New You. And what I did there was I flipped between standard English as the first line, or the first sentence rather. And then the rest of it is in Trinidadian Patois. And I flipped back and forth between that throughout the whole story. And I ended up narrating it as well. It seems nice. To have gotten some good, people seem to love it.
That's awesome.
Those are the two things I have out right now.
And where is 10 Steps to a Whole New You published?
It's a Fantasy Magazine.
Fantasy Magazine. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure we put links to that in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. So if you had to recommend one piece of Black horror, whether it's a movie, a book, podcast, web series, etc., what would you recommend?
Book. Let's Play White by Chizia Book.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think she has some stories from it on Nightmare Magazine.
Oh, awesome.
It's, you know, every turn out of Reeve is, you know, she's doing Shudder, she's doing Cereal Box. So Tanana Reeve almost needs an introduction these days. So I'm just thinking of somebody else, you know, props to Tanana Reeve, but let's just try and make sure that she's not just the as the Highlander said, the only, you know, there can be only one kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Prince Chizia needs some props. We need to know more about her. She's doing really good things. And she is irreplaceable, literally, okay?
Yeah, and I haven't heard of this collection, so I'm pretty stoked about that. I will definitely still put links to that and to Tanana Reeves' Shutter announcement and her Cereal Box story in the show notes for folks who don't know about that, or, you know, folks who do but haven't actually looked it up yet.
It's Black Panther, right?
I think so. I can't remember for sure. Yeah.
The movie will be, of course, Get Out. Now, I say that as somebody who has not watched the whole thing. Around the time when, not to be too spoilery, which I will not be, but around the point when she tells him to sink, that's when I went, click.
You're like, nope. I want no parts of this.
Worst fear. Okay, is losing control of my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand why some people don't watch certain horror films. I'm not all horror films, but just some of them, right? Mm-hmm. That's a trigger. I remember watching a little bit of The Exorcist when I was a kid, and I'm like, nope. But I mean, I'm an atheist now, so it won't affect me the same way, but I still haven't watched it. I'm still wondering how I react to it if I see the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the more religious you are, the more that movie definitely gets to you. You know, I've spoken to people who are very religious who are like, nope, I will never watch that movie. I don't want to watch that movie. Or I tried to watch that movie and couldn't finish it.
Yeah, it goes where you do not want to.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, for I mean, I remember when I saw the Mothman Prophecies, my skin thrummed for like 3 days because I was so, it just got to me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the kind of stuff, like stuff on the edge that might be true. That kind of stuff messes my head. Now I'll go, okay, that's psyops. You know,
yeah.
But back then I was still very spiritual, so but yeah, Get Out for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a good movie. There's a lot of symbolism in it, and you know, I'm kind of sad that you can't watch it because it is such a masterclass.
I will try.
I mean, seriously, there are movies, you know, you don't have to force yourself to watch something you don't want to.
I want to though, because there's so much talk about it.
Yeah, there is. There is. I mean, for good reason. There is so much symbolism in the movie. You know, the screenwriting is great. The cinematography is great. It's just, you know, it's one of those movies that every time you watch it, you catch something else that Jordan Peele did to add to the story that deepens it just a little bit. And, you know, as a writer, when you're looking at those types of things, I think it makes you a better writer. At least, you know, it helps me to see those things and look at how I can layer symbolism and things into my stories to make them resonate more. All right, so last question. How can we support you?
Okay, now I am on mental health disability. Remember the, you know, the trichotillomania? There's other things that disable me, okay? Major depression, and I have a scary diagnosis, but it's not a psychosis, it's something else. It's in the same family. So, it affects my executive dysfunction is at legendary levels. and hence, you know, home care worker helping me out. Mm-hmm. I just can't. And then apparently now I found out that I may be there's a very strong chance based on the fact that my doctor said I have a lot of the symptoms from the checklist, the initial checklist that she sent me, that I may be undiagnosed ADHD. It explains my ability to hyperfocus, but I can't do anything else, really.
Right.
My day-to-day stuff, which explains that finally. And yeah. I approached my dad about it, and he just talked sideways. Mm-hmm. And my mom, I mean, they used to come back. See, I'm like 46, okay? So I was born in 74. So by the early 80s, that thing wasn't even talked about yet. So what they used to call it for me was my absent-mindedness. It was so pronounced that on two separate occasions, my high school teachers wrote about it in my report book. We don't have a report card, a report book. So there's every term you fill out something, right? What's going on, what's happening with you. And there are three terms in a year, basically. So my mom wrote the first time the teacher noted and talked about my absent-mindedness and how something needs to be addressed. My mom said I was told that it would improve with maturity. And I was like, no. At the time, I was like, really? My mom went to somebody about it? Or she knows about it? Or she, you know, and I didn't really think too much about it. But I was like, why didn't you tell me? So that's why I approached my dad and I showed it to him. And, you know, I mean, all throughout my except for the last couple of years of my primary school years, except for the last 2 years of my primary school years and when I had one teacher, every other year people said, too talkative, you know? And I was hyper. So it makes perfect sense. I mean, there was this one memory I had of not bringing the belt for my brownies, for the first time I was being sworn in as a brownie guide. My mom gave me such a tongue lashing that I remember that incident to this day. There's a picture of me with my hand up doing the swearing, no belt. Everybody else had their belts and everything, right? My mom was mortified, et cetera, because of that. She was embarrassed and everything, you know, so she gave me a tongue lashing to suit. So, you know, things like that over the years. So yeah, I'm undiagnosed ADHD for sure.
Right.
But, you know, it's not all covered by OHIP over here in Ontario, which is Ontario Health Insurance Program, which everyone has. It's not covered by OHIP, so it's like $2,000 to do the entire test. Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's a lot.
But anyway, so, long story short, Patreon, Tonya Liber, T-O-N, Tonya with an O and a Y, as opposed to yours, which is an O and an I. Mm-hmm. Tonya for me, O and a Y, L-I-B as in book. URD as in doctor, Tonya Liber, patreon.com/Tonya Liber. That's a great way to support me. I go into a lot more detail than I do here about how it is to be a creative with mental illness, updates on my writing and stuff like that. But I do not reveal on outside of Patreon. Because you get bird pics.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I will make sure that we put a link to the Patreon in the show notes. Thank you again, Tonya, so much for joining us today. I hope that you have an excellent day.
Oh, I will. I will.
Excellent. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with a brand new story.